Love Talk Radio.
What's going on? It's the boy Big Fox. Everything to everybody. Talk to Paul with the Hangman. Get him in on the line with us. Right now, I'm in Virginia with the family having a father son trip. So, it's a little no noise here over here. But it's working. Yes, yes. So I'm about to keep this thing going for y'all. So go back. Keep it going for y'all. Yeah, it's working better now. Hey, what's happening? It's your boy Parker. It's your boy Parker. Bringing this to you today from a remote location. We're off at Lake Anna in Virginia.
Oh, okay. Having a good time?
Oh, yeah, man. We enjoying ourselves out here, having a great time.
Hey, before we bring Michelle on, let me ask you, what you think about the basketball game, the championship? Because Keto Wilson's going to be on talking about it.
Yeah, man, that was crazy to me, man. I don't know how they just let LeBron just take it like that. Like, they just let him take it.
Well, when you 6'8", 270 pounds, and you're the strongest man on the court, you can do what you want to do. You know, if a guy that big and don't be a bully, then they're going to call him soft. So he took advantage of his size, and he did what he's supposed to. Because if he was 6'8", 270, and he was out there shooting jumpers, everybody would call him soft. But when you got that kind of size, you're supposed to roll to the hoop and it wasn't so much they let him do it. There's nothing they could do about it. And when you're a superstar, you get calls. That's the way it is. All superstars get calls. When people say, how did he get all those calls? Superstars get calls. When you establish you're a 10-year veteran and you've been an all-star many times, Michael Jordan, Shaquille O'Neal, even when he got fouled, Kobe Bryant, they get fouled. I mean, that's the nature of the beast. When you establish your goals like that, you get it like that. So, you know, you can't assume because you're up 3-1, you're going to win. But with saying that, we got We're going to get Keno Wilson on we're going to talk about basketball, but we got a lady, Michelle Mundy. She played basketball for me in Calamella. Hell of an athlete, hell of a track star with the H.D. Woodson. Still got records in the inner high for track. And it's called DCIAA now. Still have records with the Florida State. I mean, University of Florida. Let me get that right because people don't like that. University of Florida, and did a great job running track. And now she plays flag football with the Lady Mambas. And they congratulations to them because they won the championship in the flag football league. I think they only lost one game in maybe 2-3 years, I guess. But Michelle will come on and tell us about it. And she was a hell of an athlete and still is a hell of an athlete and an even better person and a great mom.
Oh, wow. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Definitely.
They have
amazing.
Keno Wilson, you know, Coach H.D. Woodson, Spingon, Oxon Hill, sharpshooter from Central State. And he's my basketball expert. We're going to talk about the draft, and we're going to talk about the championship.
Nice. That's what's up. Yep. So we got a great show for you guys today. We're going to try to get our first guest on here for you in just a second. How you been doing, Brooks? How's everything?
Doing all right, man. I think I had a meeting yesterday. I think we might be going on TV and radio. So that would be great. August, September, we'll be going on. We have our own radio and TV show. So, you know, people get a chance to look at my ugly face. I told the owner and producer I might have to put a ski mask on to hide my ugly face, but that's all right.
You're great.
I'd be the unknown comic. So we got Michelle coming on, and we run in a little late, so she's going to be on about 9, and then we'll have Keno Wilson. He'll bring it home for us. So how you been doing other than that? Everything all right?
Yeah, everything good.
Yeah.
I'm going to see if I can pull him in right now.
Okay.
See if we can get the young lady in here with us. So you mean to tell me you coach this young lady?
Yeah, I coached in junior high school and basketball, hell of a basketball player. I mean, great rebounder, scorer, could run, and she could jump. I mean, she could do it all. And she ran track at Kelly Miller for Keno Wilson, for the guy that's coming on the show. She also ran track for him at Kelly Miller Junior High School. So,
please enjoy the show and ring back
when
the party is reached.
Hello.
Michelle Mundy.
Welcome
to the show.
Hi guys, how are you?
How you doing? Great. I was telling my man Bob, I said, at Kelly Miller, you were a great athlete. You were a great basketball player. You rebound score. You also ran track, and you ran track for Mr. Wilson, who's going to be on the show later, and went to H.D. Woodson, and ran a track, high hurdlers. You could do it all. Then you went to University of Florida. I want to make sure I get that straight. I don't want to say Florida State. You say Florida State, get in trouble.
Oh, yeah. You get in big trouble. You already know.
Yeah, and they just won a championship, played with the Black Mambas, Lady Football League. I want to say congratulations to those ladies.
Thank you.
Outstanding job. And Michelle, she was a big part of it. So,
yeah, well, you know, I come from a very, very athletic family. So generations and generations of competitive, folk. So my family has always been that way. I'm coming from a father that played basketball for the Air Force. And so, you know, he was a lefty. So, you know, he taught pretty much my whole neighborhood how to play. I grew up off of, on Blaine Street, off of 57 and 58th Street. So, you know, it's always been that way with me. And that's why I am doing what I'm doing now with Flag. I just think once you have a competitive nature, it always seems to hold you there, you know.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so like Brooke said, yes, I did. I actually started running track in the fifth grade. And the funny thing is it was by chance. The boys would race at recess, and we would watch the boys race during recess time. And this one time I decided, because I was a shy kid. I didn't, you know, I had friends, but I wasn't like one of the kids that was, you know, into a lot of stuff. So
yeah.
One day I decided to take the line with the boys to race. And I won the race. And the adults and my gym teacher at that time was like, who are your parents? And when I went home that evening, I told my dad, like, yeah, we raced. And he was like, oh, yeah, okay. I mean, all of us were friends, but I don't think he understood till the guy knocked on my door and said, listen, I saw your daughter race a bunch of boys and beat every last one of them. Have you ever thought about putting on a track? And, you know, up to that point, none of us was competitive in anything except, like, dance or something like that. And so he looked into it, and so that's how I started to run track. It started in the fifth grade. So that was
absolutely
the start of my career. I literally went to Richardson Elementary School. I ran the championship one year with two girls, me and another girl, Monique. She played flag too. And we won the girls' championship with two girls. I won all the sprints and she won all the distance races. And so, I mean, it just took off from there. Yep.
Yeah. You know, let me say this. When you were at Calvin Miller, you were a hell of a track. But a lot of people don't realize you were a hell of a basketball player. I mean, when you played for me, I mean, you could play. You could run.
Yeah.
You could rebound. You could score. I mean,
yeah.
Not only that, you had a strong mentality. I try to teach my girls to be physical and rough. But one thing about you, you were a lean, tall forward that could run and that could score. And I just knew, I said, well, she's going to play basketball in high school. But I knew you ran track. But the thing about it is when you got to high school, you ran track. But when you went to high school, and I know you ran track, but how did you get into hurdles? That's nothing easy about that.
No, nothing. Well, it actually happened this way. I actually went to HD Wilson to play basketball. Coach Hayden saw me. He knew my cousin Dawn Stewart. She played for him. So he was expecting me to come in to play basketball.
I did too.
I think I recruited to play basketball there. And when I got there, indoor season track came. It was during the time that basketball was just starting. And so I ran indoor track. I was all met. And so my father actually was the one that kind of was like, well, Michelle, look, you're all met in track. You're all American indoor. Honestly, you kind of got to not do both, because he was saying, like, at that moment, and this was like late 93, there's no future in women's basketball. You have to play overseas. You have to do all these things, and which was true. But
right.
I don't think he had an outlook. No, it wasn't. I don't think he had an outlook, because 3 years later, here comes the WNBA. And I'm like, well, Dad, well, you kind of made the wrong call. But I really happy with my decision at that time, because honestly, out of high school, I was a 6-time All-Met in high school. I was a 3-time All-American in high school. And
absolutely.
And to make it out of D.C. the way that I did and going to a Division I school like University of Florida, mind you, University of Florida is probably 15% black, and 8% of that is probably student-athletes. 100,000 people on campus is one in a lot. And I'll just say that, and it's a lot of my friends that went to college that never graduated, or they go and they come back home, and I'm just blessed to be able to finish out those years there, and it teaches you a lot about it, and that's what I want the young people to know. If you ever get a chance to go to school and go outside of your comfort zone, I suggest that you all do it, because that's where you learn the most about yourself. That's when you learn how to overcome adversity outside of the sport that you play or the things of that nature. You kind of learn so much about yourself on a personal level, and it teaches you discipline, and it teaches you all the things that your parents pretty much can't teach you because it's trial and error. So those are things that is needed to build a well-rounded person. I'm blessed for that, and I'm so happy that I chose, to go outside of my comfort zone and send myself 700 miles away from my family, and it worked out.
Let me say something about that. I'm glad you said that. My daughter, she went to Long Island University, and when she went to Long Island, they had all ethnic groups up there, white, black, man, Asian, they had all, and, a lot of people say, well, couldn't go to black schools, but one thing about it is, in this country, you got to learn how to live with all type of people.
Absolutely.
Go to black school, there's no problem with that. But if you come from a black neighborhood, if you go to a black school, and once you get out in the working world, you got to understand that you're going to deal with all type of people. White people, black. So it's good to be diverse that way, and you can deal with a lot of different people. And I don't have anything against black schools, but one thing about it, when you go to Florida State, go to University of Florida or Florida State or Miami, when you go to those places, you're going to have a lot of different people in there, and you get to learn a lot, and you're around a lot of different people, and you make a lot of contacts, too.
Absolutely. And people, kind of gave me a little bit of flack for going to a school like University of Florida, one, you kind of got to give me the accolade for even being good enough to go. And I don't think
people understood that
because they were trying to put me in the HBCU. Like, why didn't you choose your HBCU? They are as good as, the mainstream colleges. And I totally agree with that. But when you can go into a college and earn a full scholarship into a school like, I had offers from everywhere, on the east to the west coast, and I probably had an offer from probably 250 schools. I still have the letters today. But to be able to, choose, and for them not to choose me and for me to choose them, it is a feat within itself,
Young people need to listen to that. That's absolutely true. You chose them, see?
Yes.
And you could pick where you want to go. Well, let me ask you, when you were down in Florida, I better not say that because my man go to Florida. When you were in University of Florida, what kind of career did you have down there? Because I know better.
People that don't know. I'm a three-time All-American. I'm three-time SEC champ. The highest we scored in NCAA is second. We scored second twice. So I never got my NCAA championship, but that's cool. Just the experience alone was enough for me. And some people that can't even make it to the championship. So, I've been literally blessed in my career. And I'm kind of glad my dad made me pick because, he always be like, Michelle, people that do a lot of things, a jack of all trades, master of none. You need to master something. Yep. He told me I need to master something. And he said you could choose either basketball or track. And so I made my choice based off of where I was at that moment, being, all met at that moment, And I was, coming into my own. I was a 10th grader. And so it kind of worked out for me. how I got into hurdling, I was always a fast sprinter. Like I was always fast by nature.
Before we get to that, I want to ask you a question. You ran 100 meters. What's your best time in 100 meters?
My best 100 meter time is like 11.6.
Oh, that's great for a woman. That's great.
Actually, my fastest time in the 200 is 23.65. Matter of fact, I still hold the DCIA record for the 200 meters for DCIAA.
You still have a lot of records. I still
own that 200 meter record. I don't know if anybody's going to break that anytime soon. That's pretty blazing for right now in today's times. So that's probably going to stand for a little while. I'll be shocked if someone break that in the next 10 years. So that's going to be there for a while. Yeah. Think about it. It's been 20 years since I've had it. It's a 20-year standing record that I still have. And, you know, I go back every now and then to watch the championship and just to see, you know, if somebody close to even breaking it. No one's breaking it no time soon.
Not in time soon from what I've seen. One thing about H.D. Woodson, they've always had great track teams, as well as football. And this year they won the championship in basketball. They ranked number 9th in the country.
I've seen that.
It's already been an athletic school. I've seen a lot of my girls there. I remember the year they were number 1 in the country in basketball with Coach Bob Head, who I played for at Cadoza. And he had Ruthie Miles and Lisa Anderson. And Lisa was a point guard, and Ruthie was a strong forward. So 2 of the 5 starters were from Keller Miller on the team that they were number 1 team in the country. So that really made me feel good, right?
Absolutely, yeah.
But they always had good coaches up there. It's just a sound institution, right?
Shout out to Philip Facchio and Mr. Russell, two pioneers that, you know, he was sitting on some world-class stuff back then and, you know, with their leadership. You know, they had good squads and they had good – right, they had good squads and they had good kids, and with their leadership, they made us great. And so, you know, that's what it is for today. Like, they need coaches like that, like great coaches that put their kids. And those guys, you know, they molded us just regular inner city kids. We're not kids that's coming from, you know, no other backgrounds. We straight out of D.C. and turned us into great athletes and great competitors. And people, we travel, we kick people's butt up and down the east side with smiles on our faces. Like, and it was a great thing, you know.
Yeah, no question. And like Coach Hayden, I played for him at Cadoza, so you know I'm old. You know he's about 10 years old. He was a young man when I played for him. But he's all, and I tell everybody, he's been on my show too. And I told Bob and tell everybody, there's only 2 men I haven't been afraid of, and that's my father and Coach Hayden.
And Bob
I was scared of death. And he wasn't nasty to me or disrespectful, because I never played football until I got in 11th grade in high school. I had no idea about football. But one thing about it is, he wasn't nasty. I mean, he's hard, but he was a big, strong, dark guy that played football. He was playing football when he was coaching me. He was playing with the Virginia Sailors. And I was intimidated by looking at him that he scared me half to death, but he's the only man that I've been afraid of besides my father. And that's in a good way, too.
That's in a good way,
because you got to have a little fear of your coach, you know. He was a buddy-buddy type person. Back then, he was young. His attitude was a lot different than what it is now, because he was 28 years old when he coached me.
Yeah, Coach Hayden, top notch.
Yeah, absolutely. And his background, what he went through, a lot. People don't realize we had him on the show, and I knew he went through a lot, but a lot of people just don't realize what he went through. He had it rough growing up. You know? But I want to say this. Now, how did you get into you're out of college. How did you get into flag football?
Well, I didn't play till maybe I was 32-ish. So it was some time that went by. And I've been playing for like 5 years now. I got in with a friend that was putting a girls' team together. And so I started it, and I kind of been hooked ever since. Like, it's a tough sport to get rid of once you're in it. So, you know, like I said, once you're an athlete and you compete on the high level like I did, and you're always going to be looking for your next competition.
That's right.
And so especially if it's something that you like or something new that you can learn. And flag football was one of those things that was interesting to me because, one, I still knew that I was fast and I still had speed. And I've always been a tall, lean girl. So only thing I had to learn to do was pretty much catch. And you know, track people, we straight lines. We run fast and we run straight.
Yeah.
And so learning new positions and learning how to break down in your runs and stuff like that was something that was definitely that I wanted to pursue. And so I did. Now I'm in my fifth year. Now, this is my second year playing with the Black Mambas. Black Mambas are six-time D.C. Eli champions, and we are three-time national champions. We just won the championship in January under the leadership of Rick Forbes. I can't call him head coach, but he's my coach. He's my offensive coach. So, you know, we've been doing well, getting ready to go to Atlanta in a couple of weeks. And that's probably the only tournament that the Black Mambas has not won will be the tournament, the Fallen Warriors tournament in Atlanta. So we're looking forward to competing in that tournament in July.
This thing, baby, because I go to the game, what is your winning streak? Somebody said you had a long winning streak. Like you won about lost game 3 years or something crazy like that.
Well, we do. Let me clear up. We lost the game during this season, but you know, it's season play. That you know, we could take those losses and build on them. And I'm kind of glad we do take those losses every now and then. You know, kind of get a joke back in people, making it making it to practice or working on what you do. But sometimes them losses do something to us. And then, it'd be so competitive. And because we've been winning so long, it kind of get lonely at the top. And, you know, people gun for you. And if they can't beat us, they try to beat us up and then say the Black Mom was dirty. But it's all good. I mean, we all know how it is when it comes to people being at the top. And it's a lonely place to be.
When I hear talking about somebody being dirty, I don't pay attention to that.
Oh, Brooks, you know, I already know. It ain't no hit, a bad hit to you. You know, everything clean. You know?
That's right.
And so, I mean, that's what we got referees for, you know? They referees call the game and we play. And I try to explain that to people, but, you know, I mean, it goes the way it goes. But you know how it goes. You know, once you're sitting on the throne at the top, everybody want to be there. So, I mean, it's only one seat. So people fight for it all the time.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you, how many players on your team play with the Divas?
It's quite, I want to say about five.
For people who don't know, that's the tackle football team.
They're having their playoff game tonight. Matter of fact, they're playing tonight. They're having a playoff game. Yeah.
You go to those games?
I've been to a couple. That woman tackle is very intense. Very intense. And I've been offered to play, but you know, Brooke, you know how cute I think I am. Yeah, like the helmets on my head, Brooke. I don't know how that's going to look for my image. I mean, the sad thing is, the tackle football is actually more safe than full contact flag. We play eight-man full contact flag. Tackle football, and this is what people don't understand. When I tell people I play flag football, they say, oh, well, is that touch? Well, no, I play eight man, four contact flag. And the difference between full contact flag and actual tackle football is one, full contact flag, we don't have any helmets or pads.
Yeah,
but
that's right.
There's a big but there is a pancaking, there is blocking downfield, there's blocking at the line, there's, you know, we're bodying up,
yeah.
And, you know, and it's some tackling as long as you're going for the flag. And so, you know, regular tackle football is straight up what it is. It's tackle, you got on helmets, you got on pads, you're not going to feel any force, and you're protected by the equipment, and full contact flag is totally opposite of that. And I've been out there, and we play on turf, and you know we play on turf. And I've seen the turf win 100% of the time. We don't. I've seen the turf fight many battles, and the turf win 100% of the time. So you know,
right,
it's not given at all. So for us, you know, it's a risk
you're
for
right.
us, and we go out there and we play hard, we play tough, we play smash mouth, we, you know, sweeping and diving, and so it's something
people
that
get,
you know.
Hey, Bob, people be getting hurt out there too. I see you laid out there.
Listen, I don't see it. Very much so.
People actually get hurt. I ain't talking about no nickel and dime stuff. I'm talking about people getting hurt.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You done named all the offensive, defensive line, everything, like what's going to happen, the smash and the pancakes and all that. I'm sure somebody's going to get hurt out there. Plus
yeah,
you know how to play, right, Brooks?
Yeah, I remember about 15 years ago, I know you probably don't remember this, the Divas played an all-males team, the junkies, sports junkies, right? Now, they had about 45 men and 45 women. I went over to the complex, right, to see it, because I wanted to really see this. Now, let me say this. The 45 men that were on the squad were not real football players, what you call athletes, football players,
mm-hmm.
right? So it wasn't like it was real shown-up football players. And they beat the Divas 28-21, and I've never seen anything like this in my life. The men were jumping up. They won the game in the last minute. They were jumping up down like they won a Super Bowl. They beat some ladies. And they were complaining to the referees about the ladies were clipping them, hitting them below the belt, hit them hard and this and that. I could not believe it that these grown men were complaining. But then again, out of the 45 men, they maybe had one or two athletes. The rest of them, it was a gimmick. And I went to see that. And I went to see a couple of more games that they played. And they do play a physical brand of football now. I mean,
absolutely.
It's physical out there. It's physical. Now you talk about the flag football. I mean, when I was playing touch and stuff like that, you know, the rules were different. You could hit people going out of bounds. You could use elbows to the head because everybody had elbow pain. I mean, it was real rough. It was real rough. The rules have laxed a little bit, but by no means, I don't want anybody to think that it's not a physical game, because that ladies flag football is real physical.
Something.
I mean, you got some people out there that's really not only trying to win, but they try to bury you too.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know me, Brooks, I ain't trying. Well, I might try. Sometimes. It depends on who it is. But I'm also trying to win, too. So, I mean, it goes down sometimes. It got to go down sometimes. Because I'm the type of person. I'm the girl that's like, listen, in a fight like that, in a ball game like that, it's either going to be me or you. And most of the time, it ain't going to be me. I ain't going to never choose myself. So, you just going to have to take the fall for it. You just going to have to go down.
Yeah, well, you play. I mean, you're one of the better players in the league. You know, I'm proud of you.
Thank you.
You always stayed in shape too. You always stayed in shape. That's another thing.
Yeah.
As long as you've been out of college, some girls are real big and 250 pounds, but you always stayed in shape.
Yeah, and I'm the one that got to push them big girls around.
Yeah. You got some young people to play ball. You got a son to play ball, right?
Yes, I have and that's the thing, like, I'm coming up in my last couple of years, maybe, I think this might be my last year. I'm trying to keep up with the little boys that I got going on, I have an eight-year-old right now. He plays basketball. His team is ranked number two in the country right now, New World 8U. He's ranked, my son, his name is Nico Primus, he's ranked number one in the country for 8U. They are gearing up for their national championship, AAU National Championship. It's starting in Salisbury, Maryland, July 6th through the 10th. So that's what I'm gearing up for right now. I'm just staying busy with them. I have my oldest son that is a first-degree brown belt in karate and taekwondo.
What?
Yeah, so he has one more belt to get to his black belt. He's 11 years old. And so I've just been busy with them. That's what I'm doing right now, Brooks. I'm kind of coming into my end for my career. And so as they get older, you know, I can kind of let go of some of my competitiveness and pass that on to them and ride on their coattail for a little while.
Yeah, well, you know they got talent. I always say apple don't fall far from the tree.
Absolutely.
Talent is
does.
There. You had a talent. And hey, look, with that said, man, we have to go. I'm sorry we started late. But
it's
we got
okay,
my man Keenan Wilson coming on next.
Tell Mr. Wilson
have you back
I
on the
said
show.
Hello.
Yeah, we're going to be going on TV, and we're going to have a TV radio show, and we're going to have a roundtable discussion. We should be going on August, so we're moving up. So we're going to have you back on the show, and I appreciate
you
coming on. And hey, great athlete, even better mother. That's what I got to say about it.
Absolutely.
You know?
Thank you guys for having me on. And, Brooks, I'll see you around the way.
Okay, appreciate it. Thank you.
All right,
guys.
Bye.
All right, look forward to this. All right, bye.
That's hey, hell of an athlete. You see that all American is all American, hell of an athlete.
All
I mean, she could go for it.
Wow.
And the nicest person you can be, too. Nicest person.
Yeah, and the thing is, like you don't normally hear about a lot of that with women. You know what I mean? Like, honestly, like,
no.
I'm pretty sure it exists, but I don't know of any, like, women athletes who, you know, All-American, who, you know, went, like, it's not publicized like that. They even have a campaign out right now that they're running that really, you know, shows what women have done, like, with inventions and everything like that.
DC don't promote the athletes like they should. If that had been any other state, you know, she'd be an icon, her name, but they don't promote in this city. You know, they don't really look out for the athletes. That's why we have so many athletes from around here, and you listen to them say, I didn't know this, I didn't know that, because it's a lot of journeys and a lot of stories being told that the average person don't know about because they don't talk about the athletes from D.C., The radio stations here, they talk about the Redskins, they talk about Maryland. They very seldom talk about people that played pro ball, people that have big-time track players and basketball players. They very seldom mention that unless they commit a crime or do something crazy, you know?
Yeah, definitely,
yeah.
Man. So we got your boy on right now, Mr. Wilson. How you doing, sir?
I'm good. How are you?
Let me say this. We got my man Keno. Let me tell you something. Hell of a basketball player, hell of a basketball coach. He started at Keller Miller. He was a track coach for Michelle Mundy. Hell of a basketball player. I mean, he can play. He can shoot the lights out. And he's got a lot of coaching experience. You know, he's been all over. I know he's been to Oxon Hill, Spingarn, H.D. Woodson. Everywhere he's been, he's won. And at Central State, Stop in Central State. I mean, great teacher, great man, great motivator, and a personal friend of mine. And he's going to talk about, I want to talk about what do you think about the championship and what do you think about the draft, because he's my basketball expert. I ain't going to ask him anything about football because his feelings get involved. But basketball, he knows his basketball, no questions about that. Welcome to the show, man. Welcome to the show.
Glad to be here.
Yeah. So I think you're having a child, aren't you?
I'm sorry?
Aren't you having a child?
Yes, I am.
Yeah,
yeah,
congratulations.
Baby girl, she's due September 7th.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
She gonna play ball? Is she gonna play ball?
No, she's gonna play tennis and golf. No basketball.
She might be another Rochelle Monday. You never know.
Oh, that would be a gift, because she was a gift. She was a true gift. I listened in a little late. I don't think she lost a track meet from the 7th grade to the 12th grade in the D.C. metropolitan area.
Yeah. Well, let me ask
you a question. I remember she played basketball. She touched the rim in the 7th grade.
Oh yeah, I remember when she played for me. She was the only basketball player, and when she went to Woodson, I just knew she was gonna play basketball. I knew she ran track, but I had no idea about the track. And she made the right choice because the WNBA wasn't around like that, you know. And he got that full scholarship, the University of Florida, you know. They got to make sure I don't say Florida State. If people get mad at you, don't say no Florida State, man, and vice versa.
Yeah, that's true.
But let me ask you this. We're going to talk about you in a minute. But let me ask you, what do you think about the playoffs, the championship between Golden State and Cleveland?
I thought, you know, honestly, I thought down 3-1, I thought they were done. And it's funny. I'm a fan of the game, more so I'm a fan of players. But I like what LeBron James stands for. He don't get in trouble. He married his high school sweetheart. He's put multiple – he spent 40-something million dollars to get kids in school. He went home. He's you know, from Akron, Ohio. I just love what he's doing. I thought the right man won. I thought it was great for Black America for him to win, because to me – he showed young guys these are the things you need to do to be successful in life. And you don't have to wear your pants a certain way. You don't have to talk to your parents a certain way. I just thought it was great for him to win, for me, you know, outside of the basketball realm. Now, did I think they were going to win? No. I'd be lying. I thought they were done.
Yes, I did, too. I wanted Cleveland to win, and that's – the reason why I wanted to win, because, you know, I really like LeBron James, but Kyrie Irving is my man, right? Kyrie Irving.
Oh, no doubt.
I love Kyrie Irving because that's off the Drew.
I love off the Drew.
And Kyrie Irving was cooking him. I'm telling you. And man, he got a hammer on him. He got some moves on him that won't quit. And one thing about him that people don't realize is, you know, a lot of people thought he was just a hothead because of the thing with him and LeBron. But he's a cool customer. Under fire. He's really cool.
Oh,
customer.
No doubt.
Yeah. He reminds me of Walt Frazier a little bit. He ain't got a lot of expression. You don't give me a lot of expression, but he'd go out there and he'd serve you. And they were down 3-1, and I thought they were going to lose too. But let me say this. You know, I hear a lot of people talking, and some people don't make sense. LeBron James is about 6'8", about 265, 270. I mean, he is big as Karl Malone, but he's more athletic. Now, when I look at a man like that and they say, all he does is run over people and go to the hoop, all he does is try to bully people, well, Jesus Christ, what is he supposed to do? You 6'8", 265. What you supposed to do? Play a finesse game? I can't understand that. All he's trying to do, he's trying to run over people. That's exactly what he's supposed to do.
Yeah, I agree with you. I've never seen a guy with this magnitude or this ability so underappreciated. For a better, a lack of term, hated on. But and he does everything.
And he's not a nasty person.
I'm not sure. Yeah.
You know, he's not a nasty person. You know, that's amazing. He is underappreciated, and you know, I'm like this. Anytime when the media dislikes somebody, I like them. I'm always different than what the media. If the media dislikes somebody, I like them. Because the media, they dislike somebody, and a lot of people will go along with what the media say, and they stamp that approval on him. Oh, he's this, he's that. Not only he's a good guy, I don't know him personally, but look at his mannerisms, he's professional, you know, and before he went to Cleveland, they were last place. You know, when he was there before he took the championship.
Yep.
And then people expect him to. He's supposed to win everything by himself. If he don't win the championship, it's all his fault.
Exactly. Yeah. Unfortunately, that's the world we live. The microwave society we live in. So
yeah,
I mean, it's unfortunate. I mean, you make some great points. Some of the stuff you got to listen to, and some, you know, hey, I don't listen to negativity. I try to always listen to the positive things.
Yeah.
You know, me and you go back and forth, but that's me and you have a history. But I don't argue sports with a lot of people because some of the things they say don't make sense. But I think that this kid here, man, I mean, he's a pass first superstar. And
that's right.
They'd rather him.
He's not a Michael Jordan. We need to stop that.
Yeah.
They're two different ball players.
Exactly. And he's
I wish people stop playing Michael Jordan, huh?
Yeah, I agree.
You know, if you really look at him, what position does he really play? Think about it. Is
he
a point guard? Is he a shooting guard? Is he a small forward? I mean, he can play strong. What is he?
A facilitator.
Thank you. Hey, you know, Kip, that's the best thing. That's the best thing anybody ever said. You're a facilitator. if you don't like that, there's something wrong.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, I'm gonna mention some names, and tell me what's the first thing come to your mind. Tristan Thompson,
hustler, full of energy, great teammate.
Okay.
A poor man's Dennis Rodman.
Thank you. Okay, I can go along with that. Before we get to somebody I don't care too much for, I mean, that's just me. But what about J.R. Smith?
A streaky shooter. When he's on, he's asset to the team. When he's off, he could be a detriment to a team.
And I feel
the same way. You know what he does? But the one thing he does is a lot of people don't get with him is he's 6'5", and he's a great defender. So he can defend 2-3 players on the floor. So even though you don't see his offensive game, he helps defensively, and he's tough as nails. Like I said, he takes a lot of ill-advised shots, but you got to remember he never went to college. He's coming out of high school.
You know what? You're right. I'll say this, Brooks.
The only knock I would ever have against I was telling Mike, me and Mike Smith were talking, and I told him the only knock I would say about LeBron was I wish he would have been coached in his career because he's never been coached.
Yeah.
Because
right.
You look at it, remember, the high school – exactly, and he's been doing that since AAU. So I thought if he had the Dean Smith, the Phil Jackson, I thought if he had somebody early on – high school and college. I think the things that people are mad at, he would just blow this thing out of the water.
Yeah.
That's my thought. But look at his career. Some people would say, look at his career. He didn't need that.
You're right. But you know, he went to Miami, coach wasn't, you know, had a lot of authority the way he carried himself. But Tyronn Lue came along and told him to be quiet for a minute. I mean, that might have been the first time he had somebody that could step to him a little bit, but he respected him too.
Exactly.
But you know, that's a hell of a point that you made. From AAU all the way up, he never really had a person that could. He was probably smarter than the coach, intimidated the coach, and the coaches. I mean, he didn't have a Phil Jackson. Look who he had.
Exactly.
He didn't have a Phil Jackson. You know. He made all the coaches around him better than what they turn out to be, you know.
Exactly.
That's the coach he had before at Cleveland, and he left and went to the Lakers for a minute. The coach at when he was at Cleveland before.
I forgot his name.
Every set black guy, he was the coach at one time. But let me ask you this. Now, I'm going to keep mentioning names. A person that scares me every time he comes in the game, he scares me is Shumpert. If for some reason I just can't get with him. When I mention his name, what do you say about that?
I think that Shumpert came out of college as a defensive guy. He's another 6'5" guy that could defend three positions. I don't think his game has progressed as much as it should. But
yeah.
That's a good. Another thing is he's not a jump shooter, so he gets kind of lost. But you got Kyrie and LeBron taking up most of the driving lanes that he don't get enough balls. So, but again, he's a defensive guy, and he'll make a shot here. He's a hustle guy. You never hear him have problems. He's a good team guy.
Yeah. What do you think about Mo Williams?
I thought Mo Williams would play more, but I think Mo Williams is a score first guy, and he's a liability on the defensive end.
Yeah, because he's not that tall, is he? What are you about, 6'1", 6'2"?
Yeah, 6'1". But he's got a nice jumper, but he's not physically tough. So they play Dellavedova in front of him because Dellavedova plays strong defense.
He's
going to stick his head in there and do some things that Mo Williams wants to shoot the ball.
Yeah. You're absolutely right. Now let's go on the other side. When you think of the Splash Brothers, what comes to you? You know, when I look at them, the first thing that comes to my mind is they play a horse.
Yeah.
You know, I've heard that you live by the jump shot, you'll die by it. And they kill people with that jump shot because very seldom they're off. Very seldom they're off. They're always on, or somebody's always on. But I used to say this a long time ago. One day, they're going to play some games where they're not really hitting, and it might come back to haunt them because, you know, a lot of times when you're down in a ball game, my thing is sometimes you got to put your head down and go to the hoop and mix it up and slow the game down and make some free throws. But, you know, they shoot their way in a game, and against Cleveland, I've seen them shoot their way out of a game, too. So what do you think about Steph Curry? When I mention them, Steph Curry, what do you think about his overall game?
It's again, this is my only issue about the common basketball fan. When all those jump shots was going in, they were the greatest thing since sliced bread. Then the jumper stopped going in, it was some trash. So I don't really get into that. They were up 3-1 shooting jump shots. They were up 3-1 jump shots. I think that the thing that took the win out of their sales was when Draymond Green got suspended in game 5. I thought they would close out in game 6.
Yeah.
I mean, game 5. I thought they was going to close it out. But then Draymond Green not being there, and then Cleveland got a little bit of life, you know, some questionable calls here and there, and then once they got it rolling, it's too hard now.
Yeah, but, you know, I look at this, Green getting suspended. But if you look at a lot of other teams, when a person gets suspended or a person get hurt, if it's not your team, the first time they say, we don't want to hear the excuse. We don't want to hear the excuse about Troy Aikman was hurt. We don't want to hear the excuse about this guy wasn't there. We don't want to – I mean, not Troy, the boy from Dallas. We don't want to hear about him being hurt and they lost all – we don't want to hear about that. We don't want to hear about this. Okay, he's the heart and soul. But I look at it like this. He made a difference by not being in the game, but the main two men that make that team go, according to the media, according to everybody, is those two guards, because those are the focal point of the team. But you got a most valuable player. Why he couldn't just take him on to the championship? Why he couldn't just win the championship when Green was out? But Green is a heart and soul because he's the only gorilla that they have. He's a gorilla. Not a gorilla, he's a gorilla. That's the difference. See, in D.C., it's gorilla. When it's in Maryland, it's a gorilla.
Yeah. I mean, right? Hey, you can't look. Like you said, you can't make excuses. You got to play the game. You got to play who's on the court. Like LeBron couldn't make excuses last year. But like I said, I thought they were done. But, I mean, that
I
helped
too.
Them. And Andrew Bogut being hurt helped them as well.
Yeah. Free reign to the hoop. Absolutely.
Exactly.
Free range of the hoop. That was just to you. You got a man brawling down the middle, and he's 270 pounds. And what people, I've heard comments about all he's doing is run over top of people. All LeBron can run over top of people. Well, you know, this is what I can't understand about people. Just like you said, a casual fan, you can't talk to people. I know we do not disagree on some things, but if you're 6'8", 270 pounds, and you're accused of running over somebody, well, I'm trying to figure out what is he supposed to do?
Yeah. Well, hey, you know what? It's funny you say that because it's catch-22 because the same people that say he running over people in another conversation, they say he's soft.
He what?
They'll say he's soft.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
You know,
that one game when he was just kicking the ball out, he wasn't going to the hoop and finishing. He just kicking the ball out. Oh, he need to score more. He's soft. You know what? You're absolutely right. He's been accused of being soft, and he played a game when he got about 23 points. He had about 8 or 9 assists, and he had about 10 rebounds. And they say he played soft. He should have took over the game. Then when he take over the game, he's a bully. You're absolutely right.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you're right.
You're absolutely right. Let me ask you a question. If Draymond Green was on another team, do you think he'd be the leading scorer? I mean, what kind of person he would be if he was on another team? Would he be an all-star leading scorer?
He's an all-star already. I think he's who he is. I think my only thing is, I hear people say someone is a system player, but if you've got a guy in the system, he averaging 32-9 or 23-7, then you put your system to fit him.
That's right. Absolutely. And I'm telling you something. To me, he's one hell of a ball player. There's no question. You can't take nothing from him. He's a hell of a ball player, and he really makes a difference with that team because besides him, I don't know if they have any what you call real nasty type ball players. Who else on that team would you consider?
You're right. I agree with you. He's the enforcer. He's the only, I would say, hard, tough basketball player, hardcore, or what we would say, in-your-face player. He's probably the only in-your-face player they have.
Okay, let me say this. I want to go back to Oklahoma City. Now, I know everybody loves, you know, KD, and they love, you know, when that game seven when Golden State played Oklahoma. The thing that I saw down the streets was I saw Kevin Durant missing shots, air balls, turning the ball over, act like he stopped playing defense, sitting on the bench complaining about other people. I know he's from the area, but I don't get into that. It's not that I dislike him. I just don't get into that, you know. Now, on the other side of, the guard, he runs 100 miles an hour. Sometimes he's out of control, but he goes hard all the time. At the end of that game, the last 6-7 minutes, what do you think about that game when Kevin Durant then played Golden State?
I wholeheartedly agree with what you just said. I thought they were undisciplined. I thought they did a lot of what we call hero basketball. And that's what I thought. I think what killed, they didn't trust it. I think Kevin Durant stopped trusting his teammates when they went up 3-1.
Yeah, almost like
that's
a.
That's the difference.
Yeah, but I've noticed this. When you go down low, sometimes he don't have the ball. Go down low. When they push him around, he runs out to the wing. I know he's not that big, but he runs out to the wing and then he starts shooting jumpers. And late in those games, I never see him put his head down and really go to the hoop. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know because of his size. I really don't. I mean, you know more about it than I do, right? I ain't going to sit there and tell me, I know he should have done this, he should have done that. But for the man that they say he is, he's the man, he's this, he's that. But I just didn't see it. I saw a person that got frustrated,
mm-hmm.
shooting air balls and stuff. And he's supposed to be the man, and that's what they claim.
Okay.
So what are you?
I agree with you. Everything you just said, I agree with you. I think I thought, like you said, he could have went in there and got him some fouls, slowed the game down. But again, I think that the difference between him and a LeBron James is LeBron James trusted the guys around him. He trusted Kyrie Irving to take that shot. He trusted Della Vadova to come in and do some things. Kevin Durant, old Westbrook, they didn't trust. If you look at it, whoever had the ball, they shot it. You can't win like that.
Yeah, you know what? You're right. I'm glad you said that. You know, they always talk about Michael Jordan, but people don't realize, you got a lot of people that never seen Michael Jordan play. All they do is wear his tennis shoes. They ain't never seen him play. Oh, the Jordan. They never seen Michael Jordan play. They don't have anything Michael Jordan. They think Michael Jordan, all the championships, he won all the championships by himself. He did this. But they don't realize he passed the ball to his teammates, and they made a lot of big shots in big-time games.
Yes.
Because he trusted his teammates, right?
Kerr and John Paxson.
Yeah. Kerr made some shots, right? I mean, they had some people that made big-time shots. And now look at this. Now, think about this. LeBron James, he went to Miami, right? He had boy who's probably going to be a Hall of Famer. But when I look at Detroit, when I look at the Lakers, when I look at Boston Celtics, when I look at those great teams, San Antonio, it seems like it's two Hall of Famers on each one of those teams. I don't think LeBron James has played with a Hall of Famer consistently, except when he went down to Miami and played with, But it seems like everybody says you got to win the game by yourself. You got to win the game by yourself. But I noticed all those other teams, they had at least two to three superstars on that team and more than one Hall of Famer. But people don't look at
that. Exactly. Yep.
Boston had Larry Bird. Look at the Hall of Famers there. You know, Kobe Bryant had Shaquille O'Neal for a long period of time. You know, Magic Johnson and Kareem Jabbar. I mean, if you look at it, you look at Detroit. Yeah, Dennis Rodman had Joe Dumars, had Isaiah Thomas. I mean, they had some ball players. Look at San Antonio. But when LeBron don't come through, it's like, see, all them other guys, they carried the team. But he hasn't been playing with a bunch of Hall of Famers his whole career.
Yeah.
What do you think about that?
I agree with you. That's always been my argument. But he's judged on a different level. I'm not sure why.
He's a facilitator, like you said. He's a closer to a Magic Johnson than he is to Michael Jordan. And I got a problem sometimes comparing positions. How do you compare Michael Jordan and LeBron James? They're two different type ball players all together. Styles are different. The way they play is different. Everything is different. So how do you just dump them in the same category? I don't understand that.
I've never understood that either. I never understood why. As African Americans, we always compare our heroes. I've never heard Jerry West and I've never heard John Havlicek compared to Larry Bird.
You know what? You're right. I never heard anybody talk about Pete Maravich. Comparing to certain people. But you know what? I'm glad you said that because in sports, a lot of times, especially football. I've compared white and black people in the same position. I have done that, right? I've done that a lot. And people say, I forgot who I was talking about. I said, Edelman reminds me of Kenny McCardle, right? And then look at it, but Kenny McCardle black. But I don't look at it that way. I look at it route running, perception, you know, the way he catches the ball, you know, he reminds me of a lot of people. Just like you know, Charlie Taylor remind me of the guy that played for Cleveland, Gary Collins, a lot. You remember, you probably don't know Gary Collins. You remind me, but they didn't look at it because he happened to be black. But, you know, I've seen a lot of black athletes that I compared to white as far as their game is concerned. You know,
exactly.
I don't care what color you are. You know, I look at the style, right? Like Don Beebe, then look at Don Beebe. Don Beebe played for Buffalo Bills. He was a fast, fast white boy. You know, the boy from Green Bay is a fast white boy, but the typical white boy is supposed to be slow and can't do this, can't do that. And you got to look at each individual. But I think you're absolutely right there. I mean, we do, and I've been accused of that, we do, you know, you hear whites doing that to each other. You know, but we do it to each other. You know, just like, you know, Joe Frazier was my favorite boxer, right? I love Joe Frazier. I love Muhammad Ali, too. I love Joe Frazier. But the way Ali and the media looked at Joe Frazier like he's Uncle Tom. He's a man come from a poor sharecropper in South Carolina, dead poor, Ali from a middle-class family, and he comes up, and all of a sudden, he's Uncle Tom. You know, and the media rides that. And that's the way we do each other like that. You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
You know, I see that a lot. But let me ask you a question. What do you think about the draft? I don't keep with a lot of college basketball. What do you think about who do you think the best player in the draft is?
I thought the best player in the draft was Ben Simmons. I thought the guy that got drafted number one. I thought that it was should have been called the international draft because there was out of the top, I want to say 30, it was 15 of the top 30 were international players, 14 out of the top 30.
Let me ask you a question. You know, everybody has their opinion about that. Why do you think that is?
I think because they like
more fundamentally sound. I mean, why do you think that is?
Well, my conspiracy theory is, they can't have to sell that product. They can't have the flavor can't be too dark.
That's right. Okay. I can go along with that. Okay.
That's why they came up with the thing called the Stretch 4. We had never heard the Power 4 was a nasty, dirty guy. And because they can't get
hold on, man. Wait a minute. Let me get myself a camera. We never heard of that. You're right. They said a three point game kept a lot of whites in the game. That's what the problem. Stretch four.
So then,
okay, go ahead.
They come up with the stretch four. It's a way to put the white guy back in the game. That's just my thought. You know. Also, the game they like bigger. You know, bigger is better than smaller. And most of your European guys they draft are bigger guys, 6'10", 11, 7 feet.
Because you can't teach height.
If you look at it, in the first, I say out of the 60 players drafted, maybe only five were under 6'3".
Okay.
Maybe
five. That's something to look at.
Might have been four.
Okay.
Euless from Kentucky, the kid from Notre Dame, Jackson.
Okay.
Two other kids, I mean, everybody else was 6'4", 6'5", or better. So the game is a wing game and big guys that play on the wing. So, I mean.
Let me ask you a question. My favorite team is North Carolina, right? Tar Heels. What do you think about, what's the guy that got drafted from Tar Heels? Huh?
Hey, Brooks.
Bryce Johnson. Well,
okay.
Bryce.
What do you think about his game?
Bryce Johnson liked him.
Yeah.
And it's crazy now. It's funny because we got to go back to now they're too old. He's 20. They say he's 23, so he's too old.
Yeah. Hey, if you stay in college 4 years, you're too old. If you come out, you're 24 years old, you're too old. Ain't that something?
Yeah. Yep.
That's amazing, ain't it?
Then they say the kid Thon Maker, they trying to figure out, is he 19 or 23?
Oh, you talking about the guy from overseas? The 7-foot guy?
Yeah, he got drafted by the Milwaukee. Yeah, he got drafted by the Milwaukee Bucks.
Yeah.
Yeah, bro.
Okay. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, the guy that was the Thon Maker. They say they don't know if he's 19 or 23. So they say if he's 19, he's a great project. If he's 23, he's too old.
Man, they got a way of twisting this thing around, don't they?
Yeah, that's the American way, right?
You're right. You're too old. You're right. The dude Simmons, I don't keep up with a lot of college basketball. Guy Simmons, what is the best thing about his game?
He's another guy that's a facilitator. He's gonna be a pass first superstar. And if he was a baseball player, they call him a 4-tool guy. He can pass it, he can rebound it, he can defend it, and he can assist it. So
okay.
He can score it. Only can't shoot it. So once he learns to shoot it, he's going to be a 5-tool guy.
Okay. So if you think his upside is pretty good?
Unbelievable upside. 6'9", 240, 19 years old, 18 years old. Oh, yeah.
What do you think about the trade? Serge Ibaka going and my man going to New York. What do you think about the trade?
I thought Serge Ibaka. I thought that trade had to deal with two things. One was the salary. I thought that they thought that he'll be a free agent next year. So I thought that they did him same way they did James Harden. It wasn't gonna be able to afford him, and he probably wanted to be Reggie Jackson. He didn't want to be the third option. He didn't want to be the third man. He wanted to be either the first or second option.
Okay.
Because believe it or not, guys want to win rings, but in winning a ring, they also want to score the ball. Because when they go to the clubs or when they're going out to the radio stations, they don't want to be considered the third or the fourth wheel. They want to be the first.
Yeah.
If they got talent, they want to be the first wheel or the second wheel.
Yeah, everybody's not like San Antonio. When you go there, you check your ego at the door. You're absolutely right about that. What about the Chicago Bull move with New York? What do you think about that?
I think OKC also, real quick, OKC came out better, though, with Oladipo, because now they got a third guy that can really score the ball.
Yeah.
I thought that Jalen Rose, I'm rooting for him.
Okay.
You know, I like the guy that's been down and he get up fighting. You know, I like the movie with the guy that's been like the Rocky. That's why I like Rocky. I like the guy that's been knocked down and beat up and he comes back a winner. So I'm cheering for Jalen Rose, but I think he's done.
He'll never be the same player he is before, right?
Yeah, and it's tough. No, he won't be the same player. And another thing, It's hard when you were real good, you the best thing about you was your athleticism. So now you don't have knees and you're not a thinking man's player. It's tough because he's
almost
not
like
a
Grant Hill,
first
guy. Yeah, almost like Grant Hill.
Grant Hill never relied on his athleticism. That's why he was able to carve
out
a great career. And same thing a lot of people don't know. Pat Ewing is the greatest player to remanufacture his career. Because remember, the Patrick Ewing we knew was a dunker, an enforcer, a shot blocker. Well, when his knees got bad, he probably one of the best jump shooters in the NBA history.
He was one of the best shooters from the corner. That Pat shoot, you know, from the corner. I mean, he hit that baseline joint. He could hit it. You're absolutely right
top
about that.
Top of the key, pick and roll, whatever. Let me
ask you. If you're looking at next year, who can give Cleveland some problems?
Well, I mean, Remember, Golden State is a 2-1.
Let's look at the East. Let's look at the East first.
In the East?
Anybody can give them some problems?
I still don't see. I see Boston. Boston really made themselves look a little better. Maybe Boston. Not when they say Boston. It's tough. I don't see nobody giving Cleveland any run right now.
Okay. What about?
I don't really see anybody.
With don't go to state. See anything over there?
I think OKC. I think the moves that OKC made, and OKC was up 3-1. I think they may win it.
What about San Antonio? What do you think about them?
I think San Antonio, I ain't counting them out. They got the best coach in the NBA, so I'm not going to count them out. But
yeah,
they got old, but they got a good coach. If he's able to coach them up, things could be a lot different.
Mm-hmm. They got them two young studs, you know, and that can make a difference right there. Yeah, the two young studs. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. They got a great coach, man. And as long as you got a great coach, you got a chance to win.
Okay, let's look at you. What are you doing now? Are you coaching again? Or you at Oxford Hill? Or what's your next move? Because I know you move around like Phil Jackson.
I'm at Oxford Hill. Last year we finished 20-7. We made a real great run. We lost the game.
Yeah, you turned that program around. Absolutely.
Year before, they had only won 3 games.
I know. And the football team with Jeffrey, y'all really turned both programs around if you really look at it.
Yeah, and academically, it's a great school, too.
It's a great academic, too. Yeah. You got a lot of players coming back?
I got three starters back. I lost a guy, he moved to Texas. That really hurt me, but we're gonna plug and play.
Okay.
Oh man.
Hey Brooklyn, I gotta go back. One more thing though. We did stay the East. If Paul George stays with Indiana, they got an opportunity to see him.
Paul George. Okay.
If he stays in Indiana, with Jeff Teague, they got an opportunity.
You like Jeff Teague?
So,
you like Jeff Teague?
He's okay. He's a formidable opponent. But I like Kyrie Irving better, but I like Jeff Teague.
Yeah. You said something about you like Lillard on Facebook. Did you say you like Lillard?
The way you felt, you know what? I had never really – living on the East Coast, I watch a little basketball, but I'm coaching, so I don't get to watch NBA as much as I would like. But I was just saying the way how you felt about – after watching Lillard play like 3 games in a row, I just loved his game. That's all. I mean,
I just saw how he's
strong. 6'3", 6'4", he passed the ball, shoots the jumper. He gets to the hoop when he wants to, puts his head down to get fouls. You know, I like what he does. But what Kyrie Irving did in the last 3 or 4 games was unbelievable. I mean, and like you say, on any other championship series, he would have been the MVP.
If
they gave out co-MVPs, he could have been the co-MVP. Nobody could have got mad.
Yeah, no question. Because Uncle Drew was serving him. I mean, you know what? His handle is so amazing. I mean, he has an amazing handle that he can handle that ball. I mean, one thing about the NBA, you got a lot of guys, man, in the pros, they can handle that ball. A lot of them point guards, I mean, they can handle the ball. I mean, you know, they can play close to the ball if they want to. I mean, they got that kind of handle. But some of the stuff that Irving do, and he can go left and right, it's amazing. It's amazing some of the things he do. Some of the shots he made going to the hoop, falling away with the left hand. I mean, he's, you know, I think they went through a lot of rough stuff with him and LeBron. But I think it's really come together. What about Kevin Love? Let me ask you about Kevin Love. What do you think about his situation?
I think the offense they run don't help him.
Yeah.
I mean he's a hey look, he's a stretch four. I like him.
Yeah.
He's better than a stretch four, but what he does best is he shoots the three. But he rebounds real well too.
Yeah, that's what now you're saying because he was in Minnesota. I mean, he was a hell of a rebounder there. I mean, he's a hell of a rebound. But I think that you're right. That's a good example where he doesn't fit that offense.
Exactly.
Where do you think he would? Where do you think he could really flourish at? What team?
The old Boston Celtics.
Yeah. You remind me of one of them old Boston Celtics, don't it?
I mean, you know what? He's a throwback player. You know what? I think what he should do is just carve out a career. Don't care what people say about him, man. He playing basketball and let the chips. Because he's an old throwback player, and they don't play basketball like that anymore.
You're right. You know that makes a lot of sense, man. That makes a lot of sense, man. You know what? You know you think of stuff like that, but you can't put it in perspective like the way you did. You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. He is a throwback. There's no question.
Yeah.
He's a throwback.
Yeah.
What about my boy, the big center from Houston? What are we going to do with him?
I don't know. I don't think Dwight Howard loves the game of basketball. One of my biggest things to kids I bring into the school is I don't really care how good they are because I can always – I think I'm good enough and I've been around long enough that I can teach you the skills and I can work on your game to make you better. But the one thing I can't – used to love the game, to want to be in the gym. I just don't think out of all these years that he hasn't developed one shot at 6'11", one shot.
Yeah.
Well, you can't run down the court and go get you a rebound and a dunk. I just don't think he loved the game. I think he liked playing basketball, and I think he liked the money, but I just don't think he loved.
He loved the game.
The other left-hand guy, I forget his name, J.R., him, Smith, J.R., I forget, not J.R. Smith.
I know you're talking about. I know you're talking about.
I just think, I think they're real talented. I just don't think they love the game.
Yeah, when I played ball, I didn't have a lot of athletic ability, but I made myself a pretty good defense back because I made it, because I made myself because I wanted it real bad, and that's the difference, right? And you get a lot of people with athletic. I mean, it ain't never come easy to me. It came hard for me. But I love football so much. You know, matter of fact, I love football so much. My ex-wife told me that if I came home and caught her in the bed with another man, I'd tell her, move over, man. I got a game tomorrow. And, you know, and guess what the bad thing is? She's probably telling the truth. So you read Dwight Howard, he gets, you know, it means that he's got a lot of talent, but he just don't love the game.
Nah.
And this is what I want to ask you. What is it with James Harden that plays no defense at all? It reminds me like we had Kelly Miller on the playground.
You know, I think
he plays no defense. Huh?
You know, a lot of that also is coaching philosophy. I don't think nobody ever questioned his defense when he was in OKC. I just think it's the philosophy of the team. I think he stepped his offensive game up so much that, yeah, he don't play as much defense. But you can't have James Harden that's not defending people then go get two, three other dudes around him and they can't defend. I don't think anybody for the Rockets defend. So you got to remember, Larry Bird ain't defend a whole lot of people, but everybody around him could defend. He had Dennis Johnson could defend, you know, Danny Ainge stick his head in there. He kept people in front of him. Kevin McHale was a hell of a power forward, and Robert Parrish was a monster. But so they Magic Johnson wasn't the greatest defender.
Oh,
but
no,
he had a lot of guys around that could defend. So guess what? James Harden got nobody that can defend, and everybody going around him. The way I want ain't doing nothing either.
let me say this before we get ready to go. But let me say this. This is another thing I got a problem with. I got a problem with everybody talk about loyalty, staying with a team. First of all, the NBA created free agency. You have a right to go where you want to go and play ball. You have a right to go. That stuff, you need to stay here and be loyal. And they pick and choose who they pick and choose with that. Listen, LeBron James, he's not loyal. He went to Miami, and then he comes back, and he might go somewhere else. Well, Shaquille O'Neal left Orlando. You know, you got a lot of ball players. Look at the two guys with the ball. You know, there's a lot of guys moving around. Shaquille went to Miami. There's a lot of guys moving around, going different places. But they seem to pick on LeBron James like he has no right to go anywhere. It's called free agency. He didn't create free agency.
Yeah.
You got ball players that move everywhere. There's so many ball players that have moved because of free agency that people don't talk about. I told a superstar. But for some reason, he's supposed to stay Cleveland. He's not supposed to go anywhere because he's supposed to be loyal. I don't understand that.
Yeah, I totally agree with you on that one. I don't understand that loyalty thing.
You created free agency. The same thing with football. You created free agency, and then you get mad when somebody leaves.
Yeah. You know? I agree with you. I wholeheartedly agree with you.
But I never could understand that, man. Well, great talking to you, man. Sorry we got started late, that blog thing, but, you know, we get ready to go on TV and radio, so we might be doing a TV and radio. We hopefully that it'll be in August, and we're going to bring you on live, do some roundtable discussions, and we're gonna try to do a lot of different things, man. But I appreciate you coming on because I know if anybody knows basketball, you know it, you know.
I try. I appreciate you. Keep up the great work.
Support you. We appreciate you, man. Thanks for coming on the show, man.
Okay. All right, thank you.
Okay, Keno Wilson. That's Kip. That's my main man. Great basketball player. Great basketball coach.
Yeah.
Well, Bob.
You down on the water, huh? Yes.
Don't drown yourself. Please don't drown yourself.
I'm just down here in middle Virginia. Nah, I ain't going to do that. But it's nice out here, man. We got the little boat here. We got the little fire pit. The kids going to do like sports and stuff. This is like every year, Father Son Day, like a weekend getaway type, you know, thing. I didn't go
great,
but I made it this year, so I'm here with them right now. Yeah, just having a good time. You know, the kids, everybody just, you know, pitching in, sharing, and just making things happen, you know.
That was great, man. We had a good show tonight, man. I think Michelle.
Yeah, could you hear me?
Great job. And Keno, as usual, he knows his basketball, and we got some future shows coming up. We got Mike Wiltshire. He's been with the Los Angeles Rams 10 years. We're going to try to bring him on. He's a 10-year NFL player, All-Pro, and we're going to try to get George Atkinson on there. We're going to try to get them on at the same time. So we're trying to upgrade and get a whole lot better. You know, if you want to call in, 929-477-2975, but you push 1 on your phone to call in. But I think it was a great show tonight, man. I appreciate it. And hope you're doing well, man.
Yeah, I am, man. I'm doing all right, man. Making it happen, man. So we'll just keep this thing going next weekend. And each and every Saturday from 8 to 10 p.m. on everything here, we ready. It's your boy Bach and the Hangman with Let's Talk Football.
Yeah.
Thanks for tuning in.
And look, man, I'm looking forward to the new format. It should be coming soon. And we always talk about a roundtable discussion. I think we'll be able to have that. I'd like to give a shout out to my family.
Thanks so much. Yeah. Oh yeah.
Shout out to my family and all my friends. You know. that supported us and listened to us.
Yeah,
yeah, I appreciate it.
Definitely. Shout out everybody here for Father's Day. Father Sunday. A good time down here. And I just thank, you know, all the ones who stay tuned to my last few days, my family, all that good stuff. So catch up on Saturday.
I couldn't do a Father's Sunday because I don't have any sons. I have a daughter. I got two daughters, but I don't have any sons. So I can't do a Father's Sunday. It was a great show tonight, man.
But yeah, thanks so much. Yeah, thank you, man. But you always do the best, man. I'll see you next Saturday.
We won't be on the show next Saturday because I got a commitment.
Okay.
But we will be on next, but the following week.
We're gonna get
George Atkinson and Mike Wiltshire. We're gonna try to get them on. Talking about the NFL superstar.
Y'all got a show coming in.
Okay, Bob.
Until next time. All right.
Yeah. Thanks everybody for tuning in. Sorry we got started late. We had a little problems. So we down in Virginia Beach, but we're gonna be all right. Thank you. Good night.
Thank you.